Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. All this week and last, producer Stephanie Lecce has brought us a series on the different aspects surrounding death and dying in the 21st century. We've heard about ethical issues, caregiver stress, talking about death with children, and the palliative care movement. But what we haven't heard until now is a firsthand account of an end-of-life story. Desiree Plass died on the last day of August. Before she passed away, she was a patient in Horizon Hospice in Mequon. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce and shared the story of her life, looking back and looking forward.
Well, my father was killed in an airplane. He was an airplane pilot, then he was killed in an airplane before I was even born. And my parents, I don't know much about them. And I know I had a sister, and she died at 11 months with diphtheria. And I had a brother. He died very young, too. I grew up in a small town. I had foster parents. I was in an orphanage for a while at about five. I grew up on a farm, and I'm very happy that I had that kind of a relationship with other kind of a living. You know, it's a down-to-earth thing. Although I don't like to dig in the dirt, I'm not a plant person, so plants won't grow for me because I can't manage the dirt. And I love the animals. That's where I learned to love animals, because my foster father was a person that was very warm and kind, and I learned to treat the animals the right way, you know, and I learned about how things grow, and I lived with them till I was through high school, and then I came to Milwaukee. I'm a very independent person. I was an usher in the theaters downtown when they used to have ushers. I was an usher, and we wore brown suits, a little jacket, and brown, I think we had to wear skirts. Then I got into other jobs, waiting on tables, anything you could do at that time. I think there was depression of some type. It's kind of hard to remember way back then. I left Milwaukee. I got married when I was 20 years old, and I had my son Andy in 1943 in that July. Then my daughter, she was in computers. She set up the computers for the Bucks. And Joey, my youngest, is an electrical engineer for Rockwell. And all of them were very good in school, had good grades, and they earned their way mostly themselves. I mean, what they wanted, they went out and got. I didn't get to go to college, but that was on my husband's and my mind that they needed an education to get through in this world today, and I'm glad my grandson is going to be the same way with his kids. Alan, you should see him now. Is that an adorable kid? I think he's going to be he observes everything, and he's a quiet little boy, but he's inquisitive, and he's not real noisy about things, and it seems like he's real caring about his little brother, Elliot. He's crawling around, and I can't believe it the way. He's not even a year. Yeah, he's crawling. I can't believe it. It's a thrill. It's really a thrill. My husband died of cancer. We were married some 30 years, and I now have a significant other that I've been with almost 30 years. Well, his real name is Earl, but we call him Toby. We talk about it quite often, that our years together have been really, really wonderful. We never had fights. We never had arguments, hardly ever. I don't understand that. You know, it was an amazing relationship. It really was and is. We met at work. The Continental Can opened, I think, in 1951. And in 1954, he came and applied for a job, and I met him there. And I had to have a ride to and from work, and so he came from Slinger, and I would ride to work with him. And so, I know, we just started to date about 2 years after my husband died. We started to date. He was a real gentleman all the way through, believe me. And that's why I took interest in him, because we were just good friends, and then it turned out that we found out we cared about each other. I'm very lucky to have that with him. I've had kind of a quiet life. It was interesting to raise the kids and get them through school. I had some wonderful times. I've gone on a few trips, short trips. I didn't go around our United States as much as I wished I would have, but I did go to Europe. I didn't get to England, but I got to Italy and some of the smaller countries. And I lived a regular, normal life of any American around here. I'm 90 years old, and I'm in the hospital because I had heart problems. The people here have all been so wonderful, and I just, it makes my life every day really, really wonderful to be here. They've got such a crew that they care about you here, and that's what's important. They're caring. And I've been in here almost, I think, 4 months. The problem that they would probably come up against with me being at home, you know, it would be too hard on them. And I think this is probably the best place to be, too. I think it's the best thing they did for me. Taking the pills and all that stuff, I wouldn't want to have them have to have all that responsibility. They have a life. I had mine. They've got one, too. I said, go enjoy your life. You know, don't give anything up on account of me. I don't want to do that to them. They come with the children as often as they can. They have accepted this fact. I just want them to go on with their lives and pick out the things that they want now of my things, and that's what they're kind of doing, which is kind of fun. And I have to deal with it like everybody else does. Take it. It's what it is. It's just another experience of life. That's how I feel it is. The Lord is the only one that knows what he wants us to do. He wants for us.
Do you know what's going to come next?
No, I don't think anyone does. I hope I'm going to meet the good Lord. That's what I'm hoping that's coming next. And they all know this. They all know that's what I want. And they all know that's where I'm hoping to go, is to be with the Lord. Toby always says, he'll tell you when it's your time. He says, you don't go by your time, you go by his time. And he says, you got to remember that. Sometimes I'm getting impatient for God to take me home. That's what we want. Toby is waiting too. We both want that. And that's what we talk about mostly when he's here.
So you're not afraid at all?
No. 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 It's just that I don't want to go and leave him here too long. I'm not afraid, no. I'm comfortable with it, but I wish the Lord would not take so long. I want them to remember that I loved life. I accept life as it is. And I accept God and his will. And that we know that someday we have to go and have to accept that. And hopefully we'll see our Father in heaven. I think it should be more about how you look at yourself and what you've done in your life and how you can be more helpful to others in your life and be more caring and not worry about, you know, the pocketbook all the time. I think it's more about how this world can be a better world. We talk about that, some of the people that walk in here. That's one of the concerns about a lot of them, you know, what's going on in the outer world and if we've made it a better place, hopefully. It's a kind of a wonderful world when you look at it, you know, from my point of view. I mean, it's a wonderful world to me. everything isn't bad. And if it is bad, I hope it'll change, and it always gets better, I think. Don't you?
Desiree Plass shared her story with Stephanie Lecce while she was a patient at Horizon Hospice. Plass died August 31st at the age of 90. We share her story with thanks and sympathies to her family and the staff of Horizon Hospice. You can hear Stephanie's full series on death and dying in the 21st century at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And Lake Effect returns after a break on WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio.